Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how you guys doing? This is episode 7 of In Between the Lines. As always, I'm with Roscoe. We're back. We haven't gone live in a week. We took a little Mardi Gras break. So what a day, huh, Roscoe, for the NBA world?
Craziness.
I guess it's one word to describe it.
Trade deadline definitely paid off of some teams, and others you're scratching your head wondering what they were thinking.
Yeah, we're going to get right into that. We're going to start the show off with a little, we'll start off with a little talk of Duke, North Carolina, I guess, just like a little recap. Did you see anything out of Duke last night that you might not have expected to see, Roscoe? I don't know if you watch any of Duke games or you have. Did anyone impress you?
I don't watch many of the Duke games, but I did watch all of the game last night. And as much as Jahlil Okafor gets talked about, and don't get me wrong, the guy's a great player, and he's most likely going to be the number one pick overall in a draft. But the guy who impressed me the most was Tyus Jones. Like Jay Bilas said, I don't know if he knows he's a teenager. The way he stepped up last night in that game, everybody knows how big the rivalry is for UNC and Duke. Possibly the biggest rivalry in all of sports, not just the college basketball world. And this kid goes off for a near triple-double and steps up when they needed him most. I thought that was possibly one of the best college basketball games I've seen ever. Just the atmosphere, the going into overtime, the finish. The game started off, it looked like UNC was going to be blown out. Duke came out strong, and then UNC just kept fighting and fighting. Just a great game. Both teams fought adversity. You know, college basketball really is a game of runs and who can weather storms and who can put together the best runs. UNC and Duke both did that. You know, it was just a great game, great basketball to watch.
Yeah, Tyus Jones reminds me of Elfrid Payton, just so he shoots a little bit better. He's a phenomenal passer. And last night he did a really good job of getting to the rim. But he looked great last night. Jahlil looked good. Justice Winslow, his draft stock is through the roof right now. Duke's got a solid core. And I'm really looking forward to that next game, you know, in Chapel Hill. So that's going to be a good game.
Yeah, the rematch.
We just got to go straight into the deadline. It's interesting. We're just going to go trade by trade because this is ridiculous. So the 76ers send Michael Carter-Williams to the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee then sends Brandon Knight to Phoenix. Phoenix sends Plumlee. Who is it? Just Plumlee and Tyler Ennis to Milwaukee as well.
Yeah, that's
right?
All they
yeah.
sent to Milwaukee. That's all they sent to Milwaukee, and then they sent draft picks to Philadelphia.
So how great was that trade?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, I thought Milwaukee gets a great point guard, ex-rookie of the year, Michael Carter-Williams. Phoenix gets Brandon Knight, who could have been an all-star this year, playing good. You know, he's going to fill in for Dragic, which we'll get into that trade later. But, I mean, what is Philadelphia thinking? They, you know, they're planning for this future that, you know, their GM Hinkie's talking about. And they trade away their best player on their team for
for a top five protected pick. A top
five
protected pick. And I'm going to interrupt you because
that they most likely won't get because it's top five protected for Los Angeles. Not top five protected for Phoenix.
Anybody. Yeah.
So Philadelphia is trading their best player
for nothing.
Their future for
nothing.
Nothing. A player that, you know, draft pick that they won't get next year or maybe never get. And I'm just as shocked as Michael Carter Williams is. He tweeted out, "I can't lie, I'm shocked. I love this city. Thank you for everything. I can honestly say I gave it my all. I wish Philly nothing but the best." You know, I don't know what Philly's doing. You want all these draft picks, but I don't see what they're doing. You know, it looked like they were going in the right direction for a little while, but then they trade away the reigning rookie of the year. If you can make any sense out of it, please let me know, because I'm lost.
I can't. He's a rookie, so his rookie contract has the rest of this year on it, and then he has a third team option. That means that they have the option to let him, to take his contract for next year too. I mean, at the worst, why not just let him play out the next 2 years? He's your best player on your team. He's like a Ricky Rubio. He's not scoring as much as he did last year, but he's a phenomenal passer. I just don't get it. I think you just keep your pick. I mean, you keep your pick and then you go for a solid three in the draft. Because as well as Michael Carter Williams, they made another stupid trade. They traded KJ McDaniels for
Isaiah Cannon. And I think a second-round pick, or they gave a second-round pick away. I'm not sure.
But it made no sense. They should have just kept all the players they had. And then next year, you're looking at, let's say they get number three overall pick, and they pick number four overall pick, whatever, something in that range, and they grab Justice Winslow, your solid three. Or Stanley Johnson, another solid three forward, small forward. You could run out a lineup next year with Michael Carter Williams, KJ McDaniels, Stanley Johnson, Nerlens Noel, Joel Embiid, and don't forget you got Robert Covington and Tony Roten off the bench. That's a playoff team in the East. If not next year, the year after, that is probably a playoff team in the East. So I don't understand what they're doing. I just don't get it. I keep Carter Williams for his third year, try to get a good three out the draft and roll with it. Now they trade Michael Carter Williams. Makes zero sense. I don't understand it. And then they trade KJ McDaniels as well. Great young talent who can play the three or the two. So they could have went to that draft with a good, with an open mind. And now they're going into a draft where even if they have the top two, two of the six picks, I can tell you right now, there's no reason to get Jahlil Okafor, So I'm waiting for a response from someone like an organizational member or the owner to step up and say something, because I just don't get it. I don't have any answers for it.
I heard something today. If you're a GM, you need to sell hope, or you need to sell winning, and right now you can't sell winning in Philadelphia. I mean, you can't sell winning, but what hope are you selling when you trade away your best player?
For the possibility of nothing.
If by some miraculous miracle the Los Angeles Lakers pick falls out of the top five. Okay, you're going to have two top 10 picks in the draft. But, I mean, you're going on a big what if you're relying on the Lakers pick not to be top five. Like, that's huge. They have, like, a 19% chance of winning the lottery. So that's a 19% chance of getting the number one pick. Plus, they're just going to keep tanking, so they'll keep falling in the standings. You know, it's just, I don't know what Philadelphia's thinking or what they're looking at with that team. It looked like they were going into the right direction. It looked like Hinkie was making moves. But I don't get it with all these draft picks. I mean, you might have 10 draft picks, but if you're trading them away and you're not letting them develop, what good is that doing you, your franchise, your fans, and your team in Philadelphia? Like you said, I want somebody to come out and explain it to us because we have no answer for it. And, you know, for a little while there today, there was a rumor that Isaiah Thomas was heading to Philadelphia in the mix of this trade. But that got pulled out. But, I mean, I can't see why they traded Carter Williams, an athletic point guard who is the best player on your team, like I said, like you said, for draft picks. Just doesn't make any sense.
And KJ McDaniels, a second-round draft pick, I mean, it's not like he was going to garner in a max contract anytime soon. I mean, for a second-round draft pick, I don't understand. And he sends KJ McDaniels to Houston. It's just going to build them up even more. It's insane.
And it's not like they're in cap space issues because, I mean, with the contract situation with KJ McDaniels, I believe he's only making like $500,000 a year for 2 years. I mean, it's not like they have a lot of contracts where they couldn't re-sign Carter Williams or they couldn't re-sign KJ McDaniels. So I really don't understand the move that they made with either trade.
Yeah, I really don't either. I wish I could have more to talk about on it. I don't get it. I really just don't understand any of it.
You don't get it. I don't get it. And I don't think the whole NBA gets it. In a day where 37 changes were made, the biggest NBA trade deadline, the 76ers make probably the dumbest move in all of the NBA. I don't understand it.
They're going to lose a big chunk of their fan base. You know, they claim they're rebuilding, but they just took out two of their, like, two players who they were centering their rebuilding around.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a head scratcher. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
Listen to this.
So,
Jason Richardson is the only player left in the 76ers since team's GM. The other 14 have been waived, traded, or become free agents.
So, I mean, what is he trying to build over there? Like,
Someone said he's just playing NBA 2K franchise, and he's just loading up on draft picks. I mean, I don't know.
How far draft picks can get you. Like, I mean,
well, they're gambles. All draft picks are gambles, in my opinion. In this day and age, not everything's guaranteed. A lot of teams would attest to that. Like, I mean, if I start pulling up NBA drafts, I can read you top six draft picks who are, you know, AKA doing things. I mean, 76ers, like all the Hornets had two top 10 draft picks. One of them was Anthony Davis. The other happened to be Austin Rivers, and I mean, you're looking at, you know, your top 10 draft picks from last year. If you want a guy who is a game changer this year, who is having a really positive effect with their team, you're looking at Andrew Wiggins, and that's about it. Alford hasn't made a huge. I mean, I think I like Alford, but he hasn't, you know, affected the Magic that big. Stauskas, Noah Vonleh. There's a lot of guys who,
but,
you know, they aren't guaranteed yet.
At least those guys are playing, because I mean, you have the guys like Embiid, Julius Randle, Jabari Parker, you know, who are injured. You know, guys who teams really invested on. That's the thing with, like, the draft. Like, you never know what's going to happen. And at least if you would have kept KJ McDaniels, you would have known kind of what you were getting from him going into next year. Or you knew what you were getting from Michael Carter-Williams. But trading for these draft picks, that one you might not get, and then the other is going to be a second-round pick, you have no idea what you're getting. So, I mean, what would you rather take a risk on? A guy who's played on your team, you kind of know what you're going to get from him next year, or draft picks? And I don't see what the GM's trying to do.
It's not like they moved their halfway decent players for draft picks. They moved, like you said, their whole team.
Yeah, they're key guys.
It's going to be something we're going to have to slowly find out over the next few days, because we're not going to hear much of it. I don't understand it. I mean, I think Phoenix came out as the winners of that trade. They weren't going to be able to re-sign Goran Dragic, so they had to get someone out of. They had to get someone out of it, and they were able to get a phenomenal passer to pair with Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight, and Isaiah Thomas. It's an interesting trade, in my opinion. I guess they figured they. Do you know who they got for Isaiah?
Who's
the first-round draft pick?
They got a first-round draft pick and, I believe, Marcus
Thornton.
They
got Marcus Thornton and a first-round draft pick for who? Cleveland, maybe? It might be. I think it's Cleveland's draft pick. I'm just trying to think. So, I mean, they just wanted to get rid of him because all he does is score. He doesn't provide much. I think that's why they wanted to get him out.
Pulling up the trade recap now, if this internet would load. But, you know, the Isaiah Thomas trade, I liked what they did. You know, because he eats up a lot of cap space, I believe. I think he has a pretty big contract for the player he is. I'm not 100% sure on that. But, I mean, I know a lot of people disagree and say, oh, well, the Suns traded away their best two players when they were in the playoff race for the 8th seed in the West. I mean, they traded away Goran Dragic, who they wouldn't be able to re-sign, so you have to look at the bigger picture, like you said. They had to get something for Dragic without just letting him walk and not getting anything. And then they get Brandon Knight to replace Thomas and Dragic. So I like what
they
did.
That's who it is. They got Cleveland's draft pick for this year.
Yeah.
Which is going to be probably 20s. So, I mean, it's not going to be a huge draft pick, but
Cleveland Cavaliers 2016 first round draft pick.
Oh, 2016.
2016,
so
not 2015.
So it's actually going to be worse. Because they're probably going to be better next year.
I mean,
that's neither here nor there. Boston didn't care about that draft pick. Boston just wanted Isaiah Thomas. Yeah.
I mean, the Suns could always trade that draft pick to Philadelphia for Nerlens Noel.
No, they'll probably
trade it
for Henry Sims.
If Philly wants the draft pick so bad, why not just, you know, take the 2016 first-round draft pick for, you know, your last first-rounder?
Speaking of Goran Dragic, did you like the trade with him going to Miami?
I think that trade works out for Miami more than I think that really boosts Miami's starting five, because now you're looking at when healthy, you have Dragic, Wade, Luol Deng, Chris Bosh, and Hassan Whiteside. So
that's a team that can, that if when healthy, can compete in the East.
Yeah, it can definitely make a run. So I think that trade really benefited the Heat. I thought Phoenix should have tried getting more. I like how they got the two draft picks. But that trade's just really confusing for me to actually understand. Sean Williams and Justin Hamilton were involved with that trade, which turned out to be a three-team trade, including the New Orleans Pelicans.
It technically wasn't a three-team trade. It was a two-team trade, and then after the Suns got, because the Suns traded Dragic for Danny Granger, Norris Cole, Sean Williams, Justin Hamilton. They kept Danny Granger.
And two first-round picks.
Yes. So they kept the first-round picks and Danny Granger. Then they sent Norris Cole, Shane Williams, Justin Hamilton to the Pels for John Salmons. And they think Granger's going to get waived, is what I'm hearing.
So all they traded for was two first-round picks and John Salmons.
And Danny Granger. But if they cut Danny Granger, then, yeah, it was basically... it'd be basically them just getting two first-round picks for someone who's going to leave the team anyway next year.
You know, I don't know how to look at that trade, because you did get something for a guy who would have walked away. But, you know, you also have to think, well, could you have gotten more? So, I think they just need to be happy with what they got. And I think the Heat definitely come out as the better end on this trade. Because, I mean, now this makes them a threat in the East, you know, with that starting five, can definitely make a push in the playoffs.
They're talking max contract already. They want him there for a while,
and he wants to be there.
So,
Miami.
So he's gonna get it.
Miami was one of the teams on his wish list, so that max deal can definitely happen. You know, I think if, you know, the max deal wasn't a possibility, I don't think Pat Riley would have went in with this trade. I think he would have sat it out. But considering that the max deal is possible, it's definitely...
His ball handling... you know, percentage just went down 40% since Isaiah Thomas and joined the team. So I think that's why he wanted to get out. That's why they wanted to get Isaiah out. I think they just wanted to, you know, just say, you know what, I'd rather have two guards who handle the, or at least one guard to handle the ball. Al Farouq Aminu just hit a three-pointer to interrupt my conversation. I think they just wanted two guards. It'd be like Drew Holiday, Eric Gordon, Tyreek Evans. The way we fixed it is, you know, they got Eric Gordon to not be ball dependent. Isaiah Dragic, and Eric Bledsoe, none of them could not be ball dependent. So they had to go. So Dragic wasn't going to re-sign. They shipped him off. Isaiah Thomas, I guess they wanted to ship him off too, because if you're going to use Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe, you're not going to put Isaiah Thomas on the court in the last 2 minutes of the ball game. And he wants to be on the court in the last 2 minutes of the ball game. So I think they figured they just might as well get a draft pick for him and then put Marcus Thornton as a good bench guy.
So. Yeah. Thornton definitely enhances the bench for him. But I would like to see them get more, maybe get a power forward or somewhere involved with the trade.
Which team?
From Boston, possibly. You know, I mean, because Marcus Thornton is another guard, so you traded away two guards, but then when it comes down to it, you got two guards back. Obviously, they're different players and they have different skills, but, I mean, you still guard heavy in Phoenix.
Are they? Well, who's the backup guard in Phoenix? Yep, that's what I'm saying. I'm off the top.
Isaiah was starting before he was traded?
No, Isaiah was your sixth man.
So Isaiah was the backup guard. Now
he was the sixth man, and in the last 2 minutes, they would, in the last 2 minutes, they'd run a three-guard set. So there would be, like, your small forward, a little Goran Dragic. So, you know.
And then, I mean, the other chip-in piece to the Dragic trade was Zoran Dragic, which, I mean, he was just thrown in because they were trading his brother.
Okay, so, yeah, their backup point guard is going to be Reggie Bullock, the guy from the Clippers, who was cut, or no, he was traded.
So
Reggie Bullock is your point guard.
After all the trades, your starting lineup is going to be Knight, Bledsoe, I guess Gerald Green.
Don't sleep on T.J. Warren, man. I like T.J. Warren a lot.
I really
like T.J. Warren.
Do they run?
I think they run out Gerald Green at the three. Oh, actually, no, Gerald Green comes off the bench. Gerald Green does come off the bench because when I went to the game versus Phoenix Suns, he came off the bench. So they start P.J. Tucker at three.
Okay.
And they run Markieff Morris at the four. And then your five is
Alex Lynn.
Your bench is going to be Reggie Bullock, Goodwin, I think, because they don't have Tyler Ennis anymore. Archie Goodwin, Reggie Bullock, Marcus Morris at the three. Brendan Wright and I don't know. They don't have another center on their team because they traded Plumlee.
They would have to. You see,
I don't know what they're doing, Roscoe.
They would have to sort a Morris and Wright, and then T.J. Warren would be the second three in rotation.
Well, T.J. Warren might be in the D League right now. Like, they keep sending him back and forth.
Okay. But then, like, a name we're not saying is Marcus Thornton, the guy they acquired today.
Oh, you're right. He's playing over Archie. He's going to play over Archie Goodwin.
I don't know, man. You see, that's where I thought maybe they could have got Brandon Bass from Boston. And
they didn't want to trade him, though. It's confusing. I mean,
when you think you could figure it out, you never do.
No, but I do like their I do like their starting lineup. I do like their core. I'll give that to them. I like Brandon Knight. I like Eric Bledsoe. I like Alex Lynn. I like Markieff Morris. They have a pretty good core. So, you know, they're just going to have to build their bench up now. So that's going to be on them. Did you like the are you a fan of the Oklahoma City Detroit trade?
Wow. OKC may be the biggest winner from today, in my opinion.
They are the biggest winners.
You know, I don't, like, I mean, obviously the Heat got a big benefit, but OKC, they trade Reggie Jackson to the Pistons.
Someone who wanted out. Keep that in mind.
Someone who wanted out, they knew they weren't going to be able to re-sign him. It's a three-team deal, OKC, Detroit, and Utah. And they bring in a guy who I'm a huge fan of, Enes Kanter.
Are we talking trades? Are we talking the Detroit trade, or you want to talk the Jazz trade?
I mean, it's all the same trade. It was a three-team trade. You know, it was a three-team deal.
You're right.
So, if you're talking about the Pistons, all right, you trade Reggie Jackson to the Pistons, and with that, you get from the Pistons, you get Kyle Singler and DJ Augustine, who are going to shore up the bench for OKC.
Oh, and they got Mitch McRae, who I like a lot. Mitch McRae is playing his ass off right now as we speak. Dude, that team, not to interrupt you, but they're young. Like, they're actually getting younger, and they're getting better.
You know,
I mean,
I didn't understand, like, how the Pistons just jumped in today and made the trade for Reggie Jackson. It caught me completely off guard. I thought going into the whole day today, I thought it was going to be
Brooklyn.
OKC and Brooklyn. Brooke Lopez coming in to OKC. You knew, everybody knew that OKC was going to try and get a center today. Then Detroit jumps in, and you have this three-team deal with the Jazz. And OKC gets Kyle Singler, who's going to be a quality shooter playing the forward spot for OKC coming off the bench. And you get DJ Augustine, who, while was filling in for about 10 games, I think he played filling in for Brandon Jennings, who had the Achilles injury, was averaging 20-8, 20-9. I mean, he's not going to put up those numbers because he's coming off the bench behind Russell Westbrook, but he's going to have that spark coming off the bench. He's been in the playoffs for the past 2-3 years, so, you know, that's another thing to look at. And then with the Jazz and the Thunder, they deal Kendrick Perkins to the Jazz with Grant Jarrett, draft rights to Tibor Pleiss, a protected future first rounder from the Thunder, and a Pistons second round pick to the Jazz for Enes Kanter and Steve Novak. I mean, Kendrick Perkins is definitely going to be waived. I'm going to be honest, I don't have any idea who the other two players are. And then you're
They're projects.
You know,
they're foreign, they're European projects. We're never going to touch the league.
So, I mean, all the Jazz are doing is taking a gamble. We know Cantor wanted to be traded. He didn't like the minutes he was receiving, which I wouldn't either, because when he does get 30 minutes a game, he's averaging 20 points, you know, 7 to 10 rebounds a game. So I don't – OKC gets younger by getting Cantor, and then they just shore up the bench with Singler, Augustine, and Novak just to add some firepower. Really, really like what they did. I thought it was very smart.
Well, I want to know is I wonder if they're going to move Steven Adams to the bench or not.
Yeah. Well, he's hurt at the moment, but if I was OKC, I would start Cantor. He's proved more to me than Adams has.
But this is when sabermetrics and the statistics go into play. Offensively, Cantor's 5 times better than Steven Adams, but Steven Adams is a better rebounder and a way better defender. He is a great defender. I have no doubt that Cantor's going to start, but in the last 2 minutes of a close game in the playoffs, you're going to see Steven Adams at the 5. He's too good of a defender to not be on the floor. So just expect that. But
what the Thunder wanted was a big man who could score. A 5.
I know.
I mean, because they've never had that, so.
I like what they got out of it with, getting DJ Augustine. I think that's the biggest piece of it. Because I don't understand. Getting Cantor was weird. He's not going to score 14 points a game. I don't think he will. That's what he's averaging in Utah. With what Westbrook, KD, Ibaka, I don't know if he's going to do that. I don't understand why they don't keep Steven Adams in that role because of his defense, but, you know, I guess we'll find that out. Kyle Singler's not even going to play, which is weird because you got to think they have Anthony Morrow and Dion Waiters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be
forward.
He's a 3. So then it's going to come down to, do we start Kyle Singler at the 4? That's going to be it. It's going to be between Kyle Singler and Mitch McRae off the bench at the 4. But Detroit
I think the biggest thing to look at is that, every guy they got is young. Singler's 26, Cantor's 22, and, Augustine's 27. Every guy is, pretty young for the most part. I think the biggest thing to look at.
Well, then you also got to think Reggie Jackson didn't want to be there, so the chemistry was really bad off the bench. But who do you bring in to replace him? DJ Augustine, who played with Kevin Durant in college. It's a chemistry thing. You get a good, scrappy backup point guard, and you get one of Kevin KD's former teammates.
You know that.
And that's big. That's all you got to say. That's big. They need that. DJ Augustine's going to be the biggest part of that trade.
That's
in
what I've
opinion.
Been pushing all trade deadline day, is that sometimes you can't be upset if your team doesn't make a move, because when it comes down to it, it's all about chemistry. And you saw it last year when the Pacers, I'm saying this because I know from experience with the Pacers trade for Evan Turner, but, that trade made the Pacers worse because of the chemistry issue. It's all about chemistry. If you lose your chemistry, your team's not going to be where they were. I know the Pacers were in talks with Reggie Jackson. I didn't want that trade to happen because it's going to hurt the chemistry. The Pacers are finally getting their starters back, and then if that trade was to go through, you messing with everything that you've been trying to build. So
I think that would
chemistry
have been
a huge part of the trade deadline.
Lance. Okay. I think that would have been a great trade for them to pair Reggie Jackson with Paul George when healthy. I think that would have been an awesome trade. Because I honestly don't understand the trade for Detroit, because what people aren't realizing is what's going to happen when egotistical maniac Brandon Jennings gets healthy. Yeah, that's not going to work.
They would try. He won't
that's
be healthy this
work.
Year. So
no,
but
next year.
And it's not said that Reggie Jackson's gonna sign with the Pistons. It seems like he's really happy to go to Detroit, and most likely he probably will. But supposedly the Pistons were trying to work out a trade today to get rid of Brandon Jennings. So, you don't know if he's going to be there next year.
Well, he's in the middle of a contract. Brandon Jennings is not Brandon Jackson. 2014 right now. Let's see his current contract. They exercised the club option for 2014. I think this means Reggie Jackson is a restricted free agent, I think. I'm not 100% positive, though. Which would mean that he's... Well, in 2015, he's due money. So I think he's going to be a Piston next year. So, yeah, you got to figure out what to do with Brandon Jennings, who I'm pretty sure is under contract as well, because he signed a big contract when he signed at a free agency, and that was only like a year ago or 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a problem. You can't have those two on the floor at the same time. Just like when you put together Brandon Jennings and Josh Smith, that was a disaster, and I called that to be a disaster during the offseason before they both start playing. Them two on the court together would be really bad. Reggie isn't a big passer. Yeah, Brandon's under contract. Yeah, Brandon's got 2 years left on his contract. Oh, actually, he's in his second year. Okay, so next year's his last year. So that's going to be interesting. Have fun with that, Detroit. You got two players who have had problems with their past teams.
I don't really know what to expect from Reggie Jackson, because supposedly the Thunder offered him an extension worth $48 million over 4 years.
He didn't want to be a bench guy.
So I don't know if it's about playing time or what with him.
I think they screwed up. They screwed up when they got Dion Waiters. I think giving Reggie Jackson full reins off as the bench unit would have been fine. I think he did succeed. He has succeeded in that role. But they bring in Dion Waiters, and they're both ball dependent, and it screwed up with Reggie, and Reggie, I guess, didn't like it. I'm sure that's not all it is, but he turned down the money and wanted to get out of there, and they sent him to Detroit, and when Brandon Jennings comes back next year, like I said, who knows?
Well, supposedly the Pistons are interested in Joe Johnson. So, maybe we'll see that happen
like I said,
over the off season, but, it's just going to be something to watch. Like I said, I didn't see Detroit jumping in at all on that trade. I thought going into the day, it was all but settled with Brooklyn, and then Detroit shocks me and ships out DJ Augustine, which I didn't get at all. But
looking at the free agents for the summer. You know, Al Jefferson, Gary Neal, Paul Millsap, Damari Carroll, Brandon Bass, Jimmy Butler is restricted. Tristan Thompson has turned down. Tristan Thompson has turned down offers. LeBron James has a player option, so is Kevin Love. Monte Ellis has a player option. Raymond Felton has a player option. I can tell you Raymond Felton's going. Aaron Fowler, Jeremy Nelson, Greg Monroe, Draymond Green, Patrick Beverley, Josh Smith, Corey Brewer, Roy Hibbert's got his player option. David West has a player option. C.J. Watson, Jesus, half the Pacers has their whole teams on free agents. DeAndre Jordan. Oh, man.
It's
Nick
definitely
Young,
gonna be
Marc Gasol. Dwayne Wade is a player option. Luol Deng is a player option. Brandon Knight is restricted. Wow.
It's definitely going to be a big offseason, but I think, you know, that's just something we have to wait and see.
Did you like, ooh, LaMarcus Aldridge is going to stay, but yeah, it's going to be a big offseason. How about the one of the more underrated trades of the day? How about the Portland Trailblazers getting Aaron Fowler for basically no one?
I like that a lot. I mean, they got Aaron Fowler and Alonzo G. I don't know what they plan on doing with Alonzo G, but
either one's gonna
come off the bench for him unless they buy out Alonzo G. But I mean, you're looking at Aaron Fowler being the sixth man. He's a proven scorer. He gives them, you know, the need, or I mean, it really fills the need that they had with bench help. And I think they gave up Thomas Robinson, who they weren't using in Portland, which I'm a huge fan of Thomas Robinson, and I think he's a great player. He just seems like he never gets a shot wherever he goes, or he's always sitting behind somebody. I'd like to see him actually succeed, but it seems like he's always in a pretty tough situation for himself. But they gave up him in a draft pick, so they didn't lose anything really, and they gained two players who are going to come off the bench, really help them out. I think Portland was a big winner today. They needed it, I thought, because they've been dealing with a little injury problem this whole year, but they definitely got stronger with the trade deadline.
There's something that we didn't, I didn't realize either. So your eighth seed, your eighth seed, I'm trying to figure out, the 76ers today also received a first-round draft pick from the Oklahoma City Thunder, but it's top 18 protected. And there's a possibility that Oklahoma City is going to finish in the top 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Sixers lose out on that trade, that draft pick, too.
They just taking gamble after gamble and not really getting much for it.
Anything else we haven't talked about? How about
how do you feel about KG making the full circle and heading back to Minnesota?
With
Thaddeus Young.
Good for him to end his career over there, but I like that trade a lot for Brooklyn. Thaddeus is a ball dependent four who was looking really good earlier this year. When Wiggins was struggling and getting adapted to the league, Yeah, it's a good pick for them. He's only Thaddeus Young's 26. Not like he's old. He's gonna be good for them. They'll probably give him a. They'll probably sign him and try to build something. I mean, I don't imagine Brook Lopez re-signing this off season. So do you know they're gonna potentially have Mason Plumlee, who I like. You know, Mason Plumlee, Thaddeus Young, get rid of Joe Johnson, Darren Williams, and maybe try to rebuild the draft. They can build a decent three guys to compete in the East. So it was a good trade by Brooklyn, and just, you know, respectable by KG to want to finish his career back where it started. So I think that's cool. But
which I think
like
they're
I said,
actually talking about a contract
extension
where he will play a year or two more over there. To kind of help mentor the young guys, because, I mean, we know how young Minnesota is. So that might help out Anthony Bennett, who is going to be the power forward for the future there, I guess.
No, he's not. There's no way. They're going to have to rebuild and draft, too. There's no way that Anthony Bennett's the power forward of the future over there. He's been bad. But good trade by them. They'll, they'll give him a 2-year extension. And they'll start him. They'll start him at the four. Why not? I mean, you know, they, I mean, Pekovic, Garnett, Rubio, Wiggins, and Levine. It's not terrible. Not overly terrible. I mean, you're in the West, though. I don't think that's going to compete in the West.
Yeah,
at least
I mean,
not
they
yet.
Also have Shabazz, so that's a huge help.
Yeah, he provides a lot of a good amount of bench help right now. But like I said, I really like that trade for Brooklyn. I mean, Thaddeus Young put up the quietest 18-7 last year. You know, the failure to realize that Thaddeus Young averaged that much per game, but you know. Good little trade for them. Also, you know, some smaller trades. You had, like, Sacramento getting Andre Miller for Ramon Sessions.
Did you
like that at all? Or reunite him with George Karl?
I mean, I think it. I don't think the trade is about the players, really. I think it was more about getting Andre Miller to reunite with George Karl and maybe helping the team out more, you know, having a veteran over there. I mean, I guess Ramon Sessions is going to fill in Washington as Andre Miller's filler piece. But, I mean, that wasn't really that big of a trade to me. I feel like that was more of a trade to reunite Miller and Karl.
Well, Ramon Sessions has a few years left on his contract. He's a lot younger, and he's better, not a better passer, but he's better on offense than Andre Miller was. So I think for Washington, that it's actually an upgrade for their bench. And for Sacramento, it's going to give them a little bit of a veteran presence. I'm sure he'll play for them next year. Because I don't think Andre Miller really plans on stopping or retiring. So, you know, I do think that might be able to help him a little bit, but just, you know, I just think that Washington only made that deal just to bump their bench up a little bit, put a little bit more up-tempo, because Andre Miller slows it down. I mean, Sessions is only 28 years old, you know, so they'll use him a good bit. And he's a little bit better defender than Miller, so, you know, but I mean, other than that, I mean, yeah, Andre Miller, you know, reuniting with Karl. He also had Tayshaun Prince went to Detroit, too.
Yeah, for Jonas Jerebko and Luigi DeTonome, I believe that's how you pronounce it.
Sure.
So,
I just don't
I mean,
get that one as all. I guess that means Tayshaun retires. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what it's more about. You know, I don't know. some moves you'll never get, and some moves you'll try to make a reason for it and say, hey, that's why he's going there. But in the end, you still don't know.
Do you, I mean, I guess
we're forgetting a huge trade with JaVale McGee going to Philadelphia.
Well, like I said, that's the one with Detroit was salary dumping his big-ass contract, and they gave up their top 18 protected for OKC, which, was, like I said, will be interesting to see if OKC gets that 18 protected. Who do you think is – I mean, I'm not even going to ask you. The biggest loser is Philadelphia today, in your opinion?
Obviously. I mean, I think we agree on that.
Who thinks the
Philadelphia? Philadelphia, city of brotherly love.
Who do you think's the biggest winner?
I think the biggest winner has to be OKC. I mean, they just got so many pieces that's going to help their team. There was other winners today. I thought Miami was a winner. I thought Portland was a winner. The Suns were kind of so-so. I mean, they lost some players, but they gained some. But I think everybody's going to agree that the Thunder were the biggest winners today with the moves they made, gaining Cantor, Augustine. They got younger. They got better. They improved their bench, you know. And you're adding those guys with Westbrook and Durant and Ibaka. I think they got better, much better. And they made it definitely more interesting. The trade deadline made it definitely more interesting for the races for the playoff spots in the East and West.
A surprising winner would probably be I've really liked what Milwaukee did today. I am a big Brandon Knight fan. So it does suck that they lose Brandon Knight.
They get the reigning rookie of the year. They get Plumlee and Tyler Ennis. So three players. Plumlee's most likely going to start at center for them, I think.
Maybe for the time being, but you got to remember they got John Henson, too, who's dealing with the ankle injury, who went on the floor this year. John Henson has been pretty good when he's been on the floor. He's only been playing 16 minutes a game. He's been on back and forth. Next year, they're going to be rolling out a lineup of, Michael Carter-Williams.
Jabari Parker.
They're probably going to roll out Michael Carter-Williams, Jabari Parker, which that's going to be fun to see them play together.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to run Jabari to two, if I had to imagine. But he's 6'8", so I don't know what they're going to do there. But they also get a young Tyler Ennis. Kendall Marshall was included in that Suns trade. So Kendall Marshall goes to Phoenix.
I think. I'm not sure. I think he may have been waived, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Who?
Kendall Marshall.
Kendall.
Yeah.
So they're gonna have Carter Williams, potentially OJ Mayo, Jabari, and you got. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who I'm really high on.
He's just so athletic. Like
John Henson, Jared Bayless off the bench with maybe Tyler Ennis, Johnny O'Brien at LSU, who who has surprisingly this year been doing really well. You know, Milwaukee did pretty good, and they have a really good chemistry. People don't realize that they're 30-23 right now. They're 7 games above .500.
Jason Kidd turned around that team on the stop at a dime. I mean, no, I don't think anybody saw them coming out. I think they're the first team to I actually know this. I saw this on Twitter via ESPN Stats and Info. They're the first team to double their win total from the year before the All-Star break.
The All-Star break, I saw that. Yep.
Which is crazy. I mean, I'm amazed by that. That's just crazy.
They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. So,
I mean, look how long this team's going to be. I mean, Michael Carter Williams, 6'6", I think, what, a 7-foot wingspan at point guard. They have Jabari listed as a small forward, but I...
It depends what they do because, you know, Giannis, he plays a 3 and he can shoot like a 3. But remember, he's built like Kevin Durant, except he's taller.
He's
6'11".
He's 6'11". And
KD's
6'10". I don't even know what his wingspan is, but it's crazy long. I think it's going to be pretty crazy to see. I mean, because Jabari Parker could possibly – I mean, I don't know if they'll do it. I mean, could he run the 2?
Paul George ran the 2, right? Paul George ran the 2 at one point.
Coming out of
6'8".
College, he ran the 2. And he ran it some when Danny Granger was there. And I believe he's 6'9", 6'8". But now he's running the 3, so, I mean, I really don't know.
I'm going to have to get a prediction, you know, a look at it. I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, and then, if I'm not mistaken, did Tyler Ennis and Carter Williams play together, or they both came out after as freshmen?
I think they both came out as freshmen. Well, I know Tyler Ennis came out as a freshman. They didn't play together because Tyler Ennis' first year was last year. So, yeah, they didn't play together.
No, this is Tyler Ennis' first year, isn't it?
Well, I mean, last year was his freshman year at Cuse when it was Carter Williams' first year in the NBA. So they never played alongside each other.
No, they did play together. Wait, no, they didn't.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I don't think they did.
Okay, no, they didn't. I knew Carter Williams stayed with Syracuse for 2 years. I'm just thinking Tyler Ennis is older than that. But Milwaukee's going to fool around in the East.
If they stay doing what they're doing, what, they're going to be a possible 4 seed, maybe a 3?
No, well, not
no lower
well,
than a
6 seed. Cleveland. I think it's safer to say no lower than a 6 seed. I think. I could be wrong, Roscoe. I think Cleveland's
the
5 seed.
They're 30
seed
and
right
23,
now.
Third in the Central Division.
They're,
so
they're
that
the
means they're behind
right
Chicago and Cleveland.
And Washington, they're the 6 seed right now.
So, they're the 6 seed right now, but they're only 2.5 behind Washington, who's the 4 seed. They're only 3.5 behind Chicago's 3 seed. So, I mean, they could be a 3 seed, but they're going to be no lower than a 6 seed unless they completely fall off this. I mean, like we've said, if this trade messes up all chemistry that they had, and they just go on a downward spiral. I mean, which is not unheard of, but right now I would say I could see them being no lower than a 6 seed. which is coming from a team who was up for the number one pick in the draft last year.
Okay, I see what they do. Okay, this is what they do, Roscoe. They usually start Brandon Knight, Jared Dudley at the two, Chris Middleton at the two, Jared Dudley at the three, Giannis at the four. Now, next year, Chris Middleton and Jared Dudley are free agents. So I'm thinking they're not going to sign both of them just because of Jabari Parker, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I see what's going on there. Okay. It's Chris Middleton 6'7".
And I hate say this and interrupt you, but it looks like Kevin Durant may be dealing with another foot injury.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. His ankle's bothering him. He's full of injuries this year. But it's not going to stop them at all.
I mean, not the way Westbrook's playing.
It's not. He's going to play, and he'll play through it. He'll play next game. It's not going to stop them at all. So, you know, next year you're looking at Michael Carter-Williams, Giannis at three, probably Jabari at the two, Henson at the five, and Jahi O'Brien at the four, maybe. I don't know, but that's going to be a good team. So, like I said, good trade by them. Oklahoma City, big winners today, depending on the results of Ennis Cancer in the offseason. That's going to be big, whether they decide to bring him back or not. But Steven Adams is also on a team option. So
he's still on his rookie contract, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So the Thunder could decline that too. So
I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting because I mean, you still have Ilyasova in Milwaukee, who I think would be the starting four.
They've been rotating it. I mean, this year they haven't been because they've stretched it out because they have so many lengthy guys.
Yeah.
It's
going to be fun to watch.
It's going to be fun to watch. I'm just watching Charlie Villanueva hit three-pointers.
Who do you have winning in the game coming up tonight, Spurs or Clippers?
Spurs. Clippers are a dumpster fire still.
Gotcha. I'm going the same route.
I don't care where that game is. Popovich got a week of rest out of his out of his elderly folks home team. They have the same record basically. Game is in LA, but yeah, San Antonio's gonna win that game.
It's almost Clippers. That time where Spurs are about to go on their rodeo road trip, and it seems like every year once they go on that road trip, it seems like they turn it up a little and push for that top seed. It's really when they turn it on the regular season.
They're still Vegas finals favorites. They're pretty high up there. So
yeah. I mean, you have to be when you got Pop as your coach and you have the same core that you've been having for the past 10 years. I don't know how you can knock them down any.
And they also got, keep in mind, Kawhi Leonard's going to be a free agent next year as well.
I think they'll re-sign him. I think he'll get his money.
He's getting the max. He's going to get a max.
Yeah. I mean, nobody else is really making that much money on that team.
He'll get a max from somewhere. I mean, it's not San Antonio, but like I said, I do think they'll lose Danny Green, but Kawhi's going to get a max. He's not even a big stat guy. If you had to guess, how many points do you think Kawhi puts up a game?
If I had to guess how many?
Yeah.
I would say he's putting up around 13,
14. He's putting up 12 and 6.
Yeah.
Defender. Great defender. Who do you think going into the All-Star, I mean, coming out of the All-Star break, who do you think is going to lead the East and the West? Who do you think will be the best team after All-Star break? Doesn't have to be your finals pick. It could just be who's going to come out of the All-Star break and be the best team.
I think coming out of the All-Star break in the West, I think the Spurs are going to be fresh. Like I said, it's around that time where they really turn it on in the regular season and start playing their best basketball. So I expect them to come out really hot in the second half, coming out of the All-Star break. And I think it's now or never for the Bulls to turn it on. I think I'd expect them to come out strong. They didn't make any moves on the trade deadline day, so I guess they feel really comfortable with what they have. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how they come out. Maybe they come out with a little fire underneath them.
I think the best team coming out of the West is going to be in the second half. It's going to be the Thunder. They're kind of just – I think that they're going to get fully healthy and they're just going to roll through, move up a few spots. I really don't think they're going to be the 8th seed. But I think they will be the best team out of the West. What Russell Westbrook is putting up an MVP, like he's putting up a good case for an MVP nomination.
I mean,
great trade deadline today.
He's in the top 10 for almost every category.
Exactly. Great great trades for them too today. Out of the East, I don't like them, but I feel like the Cleveland Cavaliers are just going to go on some LeBron streak and just play hot. And I think they're going to be the best team out of the East. Kevin Love is kind of trying to turn it around. He's doing a good job of it. I think they're just going to they're really going to show things. They're really going to show up in the East, and won't be surprising to me if they grab a 3 seed. At the highest, you know. So,
do you think anybody signed Ray Allen in the East or West?
I mean,
I know it's kind of a wild question to ask, and
it's not wild.
Kind of a little off the wall, but
it's not wild because it's been talked about, and he's been, the teams have been interested. I'm gonna say no.
No.
I'm gonna say it would have happened by now. Because there's only 29 games left. And I think he would have been signed by now.
Mhm.
And I think he's gonna retire at the end of this year.
I actually think somebody will sign him. I think the team that you mentioned for them to go on a run, I think if there's going to be anybody to sign him, it's going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, I don't know how much playing time he'll get, but if there was one team to sign him, and if it was possible, I could see it being Cleveland.
Or he goes to Minnesota and links up with KG. How about that?
I don't think he's coming to the worst team in the NBA just to play 29 games with KG. I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, I think if he goes anywhere, he would go to Cleveland. But, they also have I think they also run Well, I apologize, people. I'm very tired. They, I think they run. They run Amon Shumpert off the bench, I believe. So I don't think there's a spot for him because they like Matthew Dellavedova. So, you know, they run Matthew Dellavedova, Shumpert, and Mike Miller. I don't think there's a spot for him. I do think Cleveland might get Kendrick Perkins though. And I hope they do, because I'd rather Kendrick Perkins go there, because if Kendrick Perkins goes to, like, the Clippers, and then they meet up with the Thunder in the playoffs or something, then Kendrick might commit a felony on the court, on live TV. I don't know if I want to see that.
I mean, that would increase TV ratings. I would like to see it. I mean,
I feel like it would
I
get
think
bloody,
it'd be
though.
Interesting.
Like, it would have it. Like, it would be a felony. Like, I just think it would get bloody and bad, and there'd be kids crying who are sitting courtside and stuff. I just don't think it'd be good.
Kendrick's not that mean of a guy, man. People need to let him be.
I think Kendrick's pretty mean.
I'm not saying
Kendrick
I would want to meet him in a dark alley, but I don't think he's that bad of a guy.
That's probably where he hangs out, dark alleys, too.
I think
Pelicans trade
he was sharing with
today.
The city of New Orleans.
No, we can hide that. We got Alexei Jenksa. We stick with our French African Americans. That's who we'd rather.
I think he was fitting better with the New Orleans Saints, but
just throw him on that D line. Just throw him with a D-line, man, and get some people that horny juice. How about that? I mean, while we're still in the air, how about that in New Orleans? Like, I mean, no, and I'm being realistic. Do you think
it's
that Saints
problem.
Team is falling apart? Do you think they're falling apart slowly? I mean, they dropped his – Kenner did drop the case. So that's big for him. I mean, for him and getting suspended, that's big. Like, that's really big for him.
I saw they dropped
the
charges, and, you know, that is huge. But, I mean, it's still an issue. I mean, you had an ex-defensive back who was, you know, scandalized with this, I guess I'll put it as a rape scandal. I mean, if nobody knows, Darren Sharper is the ex-defensive back I'm talking about. And now you have defensive linemen. I mean, there's so many players who are committing crimes outside, off the football field, and, you know, it's a shame. But you have this woman accusing Saints players, and in particular Junior Gallet, of this quote-unquote horny juice. I mean, I'm not sure what it is. I don't want to get into it, really. I don't want to find out what it is. But I mean, it's a pretty big problem if you got defensive players handing out the old horny juice at the local nightclubs, bringing home women and then beating them in the front yard. I don't know. I think
cab money because they ask for cab money. It's bad.
It's a problem. I mean, and I don't know how the front office can fix it because
he just got his contract. Think about that. That plays into Junior Gallet just got a 4-year extension.
Maybe he was handing out horny juice when they were writing up that contract. I don't know. But this is actually a serious problem. And I mean, in New Orleans particularly, I mean, we see it because we're from here. And, you know, we see it around the media. But, I mean, I don't know if it's going to get out. But it's definitely a problem that we know about.
Well, the dropping the charges pretty much is going to guarantee that he's on the field week one, because everything that's going on right now with the horny juice accusations, that's just rumors, that's circulation. So he's not going to get suspended based off that.
No,
just,
but
you know,
I mean,
girls, it could turn into something, but I'm just saying, with the charges being dropped, as of right now, he's going to be on the field week one, and he has no reason to be suspended, you know?
But, I mean, now that you bring that up, how do you feel about Greg Hardy, who they can't find a defendant and a woman who accused of domestic abuse, and they don't investigate, I don't know, charges were dropped at a certain point, but he's still not off the exempt list. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, the problem is definitely going to be looked into, but I don't know if they'll ever solve it.
You said that they can't find her?
Hey, there's something where she, either she won't testify or
she's
dropped
gone?
The charges and she won't talk. Or
she's
gone.
Just
I don't know.
I'm just making sure we don't have like a serial kidnapping or kidnapping on them. I mean, I know if he's not off the exempt list. I just know that they're at a standstill. I think what's going on is the NFL's not trying to have another Ray Rice situation. You know, like you said, the girl won't testify. So then, let's say that they unsuspend Greg Hardy, and then week three next year, there's a video of him beating her in the face. Then the NFL is going to get blamed for that. Why you let them play? You should have saw that. That's what I think they're doing. I think Greg Hardy is going to be suspended for a while until the NFL can search all evidence possible.
I think no matter what happens, they're going to give him some type of suspension. So, I mean, I don't really know.
Well, I mean, if Carolina doesn't re-sign him, then it's not as big as a problem as it could be, because then teams just won't touch him.
Yeah.
So, interesting stuff.
Always something interesting going on in the world of sports.
Okay, so that's it. Junior Gallet's not getting. Junior Gallet's not having a lawsuit filed. Is he? I think someone's suing him.
I don't know. We're no longer friends. He doesn't follow me on Twitter anymore.
He doesn't have one, Roscoe. He's forced to delete it.
We have no conversation.
Interesting
anymore.
Stuff. If you want to go follow the Sackman93 on Instagram, he likes to post pictures of his kid beating other kids up in daycare, and he laughs. So check that out. But
old Sackman. Stackman, not Sackman.
Tim Duncan hit a three-pointer, though, so.
And there's Tony Parker.
Lop.
That's
terrible.
Whenever you watch a San Antonio Spurs game, it's like watching highlights from a game from 7 years ago. They just do the same thing.
Yeah, and it works. So.
And it works. I don't understand it. But, I mean, we've talked about how great of a coach Pop is, so, I mean...
Well, as exhausted as I am from this beautiful day of sports, just definitely check us out on the podcast, you guys. The next 2 weeks are going to be baseball shows. If I had an audio clip of a clap sound, I'd play it. I am very excited for that, you guys. Me and Roscoe are going to have so much fun. We're probably going to do... We're going to do 4 sets of shows. We're going to do a fantasy preview show. If you guys are interested in fantasy, it'll be a good listen. I know some of our friends in our fantasy league who don't know too much, they should definitely listen to it. We'll be helping them out. We'll do an NL preview show, an AL preview show, and a postseason prediction show along with award predictions. About two straight weeks of shows. They're going to be probably 2 hours long. We'll try to get it all in live. If not, you know, we got the podcast. So definitely check that out. That's going to be next Tuesday, and we're going to start off with probably a fantasy preview just because I know the ESPN draft rooms do open up next Wednesday. So if you guys want to give it a listen before y'all hit the draft rooms, we'll try to help y'all out a little bit. So I know Roscoe's looking forward to that, and I am too. So,
in the words
we'll definitely
Bart
start
Scott,
that
can't
next
wait.
Week. Can't wait. Can't wait. So,
can't wait. Can't wait.
Who was that? After was it Trey Wingo?
Bart Scott and Trey Sal Palatanima.
Sal Space. Yeah, Sal Space. That was great.
Sal Pal.
But good try, Matt Barnes. But so we'll be back
be
next
fun.
Tuesday with that.
Baseball
be great.
Will definitely
gonna,
be something to tune into.
We're gonna tell you who to keep, who to not keep, who's gonna be a sleeper, what prospects are gonna be awesome. It's gonna
what
be fun.
What teams
you guys,
to root
so.
For? Which teams not to root for?
Ooh, and we're going to talk about how the MLB is getting better. Because, oh my gosh, Spencer Hawes. But, oh yeah, a lot of teams got a lot better. I mean, I think the only team who didn't get any better was the Texas Rangers. Off the top of my head. But, you know, another that's a discussion for next Tuesday. Yeah. All right,
until
guys, that
then,
wraps it up.
Stay on the
What's
edge.
Up? Stay on the Definitely. But I apologize, guys. This was probably the most boring show we did. It was just a lot of talking about the trade deadline. And we're both exhausted. I can hear it in our voices. But definitely just give us a listen next Tuesday. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll prep the show up a little bit. Maybe get a fantasy insider to call in or something. We'll figure something out. But, you know, follow us on Twitter, download the podcast, and we'll see you guys next Tuesday. So you guys have a good night, all right?